Allah, greater is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I save the Lord will be unto her. A wall of fire run about and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Glory to God. Hello. Hello, all your young men and older men. A little boys and old boys, everybody in between, glory to God. It's another men's fellowship, and we're on fire. I love hearing that. Mighty men of valor. You know, we're either kings or kings in training. We're either one or the other. Hallelujah. God has given us the city. Come on now. We just got to claim it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Welcome to all of you. Minister Jerry, are you there?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. God, we thank God for you. Glory to God. We praise the name of the Lord. We thank God that, hallelujah, you had a busy schedule. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Many don't know it, but Minister Jerry is a school teacher, so he's had a long day, but it's getting shorter and shorter. How many days are left in the school year?
Two, brother, two.
What'd you say, two?
Two days.
I know that joy is bubbling up in your heart about right now.
Joy bells ringing in my soul.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Lord have mercy. Well, we got an interesting title, and we've talked about this before. And in fact, our whole effort on men's fellowship is to get to where we can decree and declare to ourselves and to the world that we are godly men.
Yes.
And that's what the our subject today, I guess, is how to be a godly man. Is that right?
That's about right, sir.
All right. Praise God. You know, it's one of those things that I know in Genesis, glory to God, with that 1:26-27, is that we're made in God's image. Hallelujah. In the image of God, we were made, and we thank God that we are made in his image. In other words, what God has done, we can do if we put our hands in God's hand. So I don't know if you have any thoughts or you want to go to, I think we have a first scripture, I think it's in Micah, I think it's... is that 4:12?
Michael 6:8,
yes.
Right. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God.
Mm. Number one, you want to be a godly man, you got to walk with God. You know, that's bottom line. And boy, that is deep. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do, sir. You know, when I first read across the scripture, when we were thinking about putting the scripture on today's program, it just rang out in my soul that, wait a minute now, you've heard this many times before, but you remember it mostly. Most deeply from one of Dr. Martin Luther King's speeches.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. He used this passage in one of his very famous speeches. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk. When you say walk, we have to... It's a special walk. It's a walk of humility. It's a walk of humility with God. So when we walk with God, we're walking not in ourselves, but we're walking not in our flesh, but we're walking humbly. That is in a different kind of attitude, in a different kind of spirit. It's not the kind of manly spirit that we call old man.
Right.
It's a different kind of spirit. It's a different kind of attitude. So we're not the kind of bossy boss and in charge kind of men that most popular today.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a funny thing. I was walking past this kid and his father. Yeah, of course, he had a very young father, and the father was telling the boy, and I don't know how old the boy was. He might have been 12 years old or so, but you just weak. You just ain't soft. That's what you just soft. You just weak. Well, the boy is 12 years old or so, maybe 13 or something. You know, and he hasn't experienced any kind of life that would harden him. By today's standards, you don't want to be soft, and you don't want to be weak, because the men of today's standards they can be murderous. They can be, you know, they can be hardcore. They can be very, very, I guess what we would call very worldly, very world-wise.
Uh-huh.
And, and, you know, very deficient in what God calls a man and what God says is manly. And what God tells us is manly is to walk when a man walks humbly with him. It's a total different kind of walk than it is what the world would say is a man kind of walk.
Amen.
A man kind of walk today is I'm in charge, I'm the boss, I'm the last word, the first and the last word, and nothing gets done without me.
Mm. What you said is so true. A lot of today, they think a man is someone who's violent.
Yeah.
Who is bossy, who's a bully.
A bully.
Humility doesn't mean people walk all over you. Humility is strength under control.
Control
yourself. And you don't have to be first in the line.
That's
humility means I can let somebody else be first, and I'll be second. You know, you walk humbly before God means you let God be first in your life.
Yes.
And you come next. But the thing about it, a true man is not a violent man. I mean, animals can be violent.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make a dog a man because he's violent. You say, well, I've got 21 children by 8 different women. That's because you can procreate don't make you a man. Dogs have a lot of puppies. Cats have a lot of kittens. That don't make them men.
That's right.
It takes a man, a godly man, somebody who walks with God in the cool of the evening, who talks with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who's not afraid to humble themselves.
Yes.
And the thing about it, you know, they have what it takes to do what God did. And when a godly man speaks, people listen because he don't have to be the first guy to speak and the loudest guy to speak and boss arrogant, you know, arrogant, hubristic, you know, supercilious, always it's me, mine, and you know, that kind of thing.
The center of attention is
the center of attention. The center of attention of a godly man is God.
Is God. Here we go.
Woo! That's deep. Do you have another scripture there?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Let's take a look at Hebrews.
Uh-huh.
We have Hebrews 4:12.
Uh-huh.
Hebrews, let me see. Hebrews 4:12, and it reads, okay, here we go.
All right.
Oh. Okay, I got a bug here. Wait a minute.
All right. The word of God is shot. Is that the one? Sounds like that's the scripture. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have to put the electronics down for a minute.
I understand.
And do it the old-fashioned way here.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 4:12. Here it is. I apologize.
That's all right.
Public. 3, Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
A godly man is very familiar with the word of God. He uses, you know, some folks, that's, you know, think, a man is one who's got a weapon. He's going around carrying guns and knives, and he's violent. But a godly man, the weapon of his warfare is the word of God. Yeah. And that's sharper than a two-edged sword. I mean, that's his weapon. In other words, a godly man is familiar with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You call yourself, I'm a man. Quote me a scripture. Well, I can't quote a scripture. Well, that belies what you said. If you're a godly man, you're gonna know what God says. I don't know anybody that knows all the scriptures, but you at least need to know some scripture.
If you're
gonna be a godly man, that means you're gonna be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's one scripture where it says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But if you don't know what Christ said, and I follow you, we might fall in a ditch. I don't know, because it sounds like the blind is leading the blind. I'm trying to follow you because you're supposed to follow Christ, and you don't know what Christ said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord have mercy, we all in trouble. So a godly man really knows the word. What do you think?
A godly man, I think you're on to something here. A godly man knows the word, and he knows the word is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper. And he knows that the word is a sword that comes out of his mouth and sharper than any words, thoughts, or deeds that he could ever come up with.
Mm-hmm.
So he is now lending his members to God, and he's allowing God to work through him.
Amen. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs, I think 18:21, that says life and death is in the power of the tongue.
That's right. Yes.
And a godly man knows how to speak life to certain situations. You would give an example of the father telling his son that he saw. That's a prophetic word that he's putting over his son.
Yes.
You need to come out of your mouth with positive stuff, with prophetic words that lift and build up, not tear down or make people feel ashamed. If you're doing a king in training, means that you've got to give them a kingly words so they can be familiar with it. You are great. You're talented. You're blessed. You're honorable. You're awesome. You're amazing. You are great. You are intelligent. All those good words.
Yes.
You can speak that over a baby that's 6 months years old, but speak it out loud. In the recesses of his brain, that's gonna take hold. That's a seed. When you speak words that you say, things you do, and even thoughts that you are seeds that are planted. And you're planting a seed, you're going to get a harvest.
Yes, sir.
So you plant bad seed. You remember in the old days, I remember, it's less now, I think, than before. A lot of parents used to call their children stupid and dumb. And guess what? When they grew up, guess what they were?
Yes, sir.
And dumb.
Yes.
You can decree and declare things over your children's lives, over people's lives. Chapter 22, verse 28 says, you can decree a thing and it shall be established. In other words, you can speak prophetically over somebody and it's going to come to pass.
Yes.
You know, that's why one of the things that we do early in the morning, we be praying. I say, I claim people's lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm speaking it and it's going to come to pass. I put out good seed.
Amen.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I pray for crop failure, all the bad seed I've ever put out. I pray for crop failure on that. But I pray for a harvest on every good seed. Because I remember what Galatians 6 and 7 said. Be not deceived. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. He won't be made a fun of. Because he's a consistent God. Whatsoever a man soweth, That's how we also reap. In other words, the crop you sow, the seed you sow is the crop you grow.
Right.
And so you got to be careful of the seed you put out. Godly men put out good godly seed, good seed.
First of all, godly men know. They know what they're doing. And
Amen.
They know what they're talking about.
Amen.
They know what they say when they say it. Is a seed. Most of the time, it is a seed, and they look to get a harvest. When I take a look at this same passage, the 11 chapter 4, Hebrews 4, 11, 12, I got something else I want to.
No, it's 4:12. You said.
Huh? Yeah,
Hebrews 4:12, right.
Right. There is something, there's a way that Jesus could talk. And he do all the principles, but he would speak to the heart of the matter. Whatever the issue was, he to answer the question. That's what I'm saying. He wouldn't just answer the question. He would go to the core of the matter and answer that. Because you might be able to cloak what you're asking. And I know you've seen people do it. You've heard people do it.
They filibuster, they sham. I think that's what they could say. Trying to convince you that they know what they're talking about, and they don't.
They're talking about one thing, and they cloak it in something else.
Uh-huh.
But he would see right through it. Let me give you an example.
He see right through it,
He see right through it, and he speak right to that.
Discerner.
Yeah.
He really sees through that. He discerns.
A discerner. He was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
He knows. And that's why a godly man who has some kings in training will share some real good insight into some of the friends that the kings in training hang around. Because your friends are always being pushed up against the building or by the police or waving at you at the back of a paddy wagon. There's a thought that maybe the people you hang around aren't the kind of people you ought to hang around.
That's right. There's a message in there.
One of the things that a godly man does is due diligence.
Uh-huh.
And due diligence is really investigate stuff, know stuff, and you do that with the Word of God. That's why I tell folks that the Word of life is an open book test, and the book is the Word of God, because every situation that you could ever think of ever happening to you or somebody you know is in the Word of God. You say, really? Well, there's 788,280 words in the Holy Bible, and your situation's in there. I guarantee you, your situation's in there. So the godly man does his due diligence, and he just doesn't stand on his own because he knows that his opinion and 50 Cent won't buy a cup of coffee. Because you have some backup.
Mm-hmm,
you know, when you meet the enemy, especially on his territory, you need to have some backup. So a godly man has backup. His backup is the Word of God. His backup is the Spirit of the living God. His backup is the Holy Spirit in him. Give me another scripture, because I see our time is going. So I want to get to another scripture, because we got to understand.
Okay. All right. I have something else I wanted to add to that one.
Go ahead.
But you know, this is the last one. This is the last thing. He could divide. Jesus could divide. The dividing asunder the soul and spirit. The soul and the spirit, very close. But it didn't matter how close it was or how close the thoughts were. He could go in with the word and separate it.
Yeah.
Separate what was coming from the soul from what was coming from the Spirit of God. When the disciples said to him, who's going to sit at your right hand and who's going to sit at your left? he went right in, and he gave them the answer. Probably the answer that they weren't expecting, but he could separate from what they were asking from what they meant. That that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, he could see through what they were putting out on the surface.
Yeah,
but really they really meant what they were really dealing with. So
my wife, I remember, I never will forget this. My wife, when we had our grandkids here, we had the one. I don't know how old was he. Oh, he might have been 7, 8 years old or something. He came to me, and he said, "Granddaddy Jerry, so and so, and I gave him an answer. I don't even know what the question was, but I gave him an answer. But the point is, my wife would invariably say, "That's not what he meant." I would say, "Oh, yes, that's what he said." You see, he said yes. I know that's what he said, but that's not what he meant. He meant thus and so and so and so. And that is a part, that is a part of dividing the soul, what he thought he was saying or what he said from what he meant, the spirit of what he was saying, the spirit into which he was speaking. Get behind me, Satan. No, you're not going to cut off the ear. You're not going to enter these people who's going to say eventually save your soul. Get behind me. And he's looking at his disciples, the guys that he hangs with, that they talk with, they eat and speak together. And he says, "Get behind me, Satan." He's hanging with the Satan, the Satan dwellers, the people who worship Satan. No, at the time, the disciple was doing the work of Satan by saying, "No, you're not going to die, and I'm not going to permit it." But he didn't realize he was doing the work of his father.
Yes,
he thought he was saving Jesus' life. I said, "Oh man." That's dividing the soul from the soul from the spirit.
Amen.
And Jesus, yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So Jesus went in and cut right to the chase. Okay.
That's right.
Philippians.
Now, what's that next scripture there?
Philippians 4:13.
A godly man can do all things through Christ that strengthens himself. And in Christ, he's a winner.
Yes.
And in Christ, he can stand.
Mm-hmm.
And having done all to stand. You know, one of our battle cry for our church is, "I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for Jesus is Lord." Because Jesus is Lord, we can do all things through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's strength.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Give that up, that next scripture.
1 Peter 3:15.
Yes.
1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear."
Amen.
Yes.
And the only way you can do that is that you read the Word. Godly men read the Word of God.
Yes.
And when godly men are progressing, are promoted to becoming a husband, their job is to lead the family. But if they can't lead the family, if they can't lead themselves with the Word of God, if they don't know the Word of God, how can they wash their wife with the Word of God if they don't know the Word of God?
Yes.
So it's important to know the Word of God. It's important to have that relationship. Godly men have a relationship with God. That's the definition of a godly man, having a relationship with God and dealing with his word.
And how to discern his word.
Yep. Yeah. That next scripture.
Psalm 119:5. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Yes, that's it. 119.5, Psalms 119.5.
119.105. Okay. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Hallelujah. That is so important. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That is so important. The word of God. If we keep getting back to the word, knowing the word of God. A godly man studies the word of God. We need to get to another scripture.
Second Timothy? Yes, sir.
The next scripture, I think, is in Timothy.
Second Timothy 2.
Yes. Oh, yeah, this is one. This is one of the ones.
This is one of the main ones?
Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:15.
Okay.
Godly men do this. Godly men do this. What do they do, Brother Jeff? When you get there, say amen.
Okay.
Godly men do this.
Amen.
And y'all got to pay attention now.
Study.
I know some folks, you know, they say they've been so poor they can't even pay attention. No, pay attention. This is what godly men do. When you say amen.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's simply what we've been talking about all evening.
What do godly men do? They study the word. They just don't read it. They study it so they can get revelation. So they'll be able to do what the word of God said too. Okay, God. The next scripture is 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
Yes, sir.
You go ahead and read that.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
And that's perfect means mature. A godly man is mature, but he can't be that way without the word of God, because the word of God is the instruction. It's the manual. The manufacturer sent a manual so we can learn how to operate this earth suit and this dispensation. And that's his word. Any more scriptures?
No, sir, that's it.
Praise God. Any more comments? We got 7 minutes left.
Okay. Now I'm going to move to Timothy 6:11.
Okay.
Okay. 1 Timothy 6:11 reads, but the younger widow, wait a minute, began to wax against Christ, which were married. No, I'm sorry, wrong one. No, sir, I don't have another scripture right now, but I do have a comment.
1 Timothy 6:11?
Yes.
Chapter 6:11?
Yes.
Okay. It should be talking about the man is supposed to be doing something.
1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Wherefore thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
You call yourself a godly man, act like you are. Talk like you are. Walk like you are. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Power off.
That's the scripture I was looking for.
Okay, there we go.
Yes, sir.
Follow after righteousness, faith, love, patience, and here we go again, meekness. So what we're doing as godly men is we're surrendering our idea of godliness and meekness, surrendering our idea of a man, the worldly idea of a man is what I'm saying, for trading that in for the word of God's definition, which is a meek man, a mild man, a man who asks God about things first,
and
after he gets the word from God, and not the other way around.
And you know what? A godly man is a man that exudes the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23, love,
yes,
joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness,
yes,
goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance.
Yes.
They control their emotions. Their emotions don't control them.
Yes.
You know, and the first ingredient that you see out of them is love and the joy. And then a peace, long-suffering, that means patience. All of that comes out of a godly man. That's awesome. That's the kind of man. And there's another scripture, and this is really cool.
Can I say this?
Being a godly man pays off not just for you as a man, as a king or king in training, but it pays off for people around you. And 2 Chronicles 7:14, the word of God says, if my people, who are called by my name, would but humble themselves, in other words, not be full of pride, but kind of take, you know, just be humble and put God first. Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Your land is all that you are in and surrounding you, your family, your co-workers, going to be your people in your church, your community. You know, the godly man's community is blessed because he lives there.
Yes.
It's called collateral blessings. If you choose not to be a godly man, yeah, we can talk about some other collateral stuff. It's called collateral damage. But if you're a godly man, your neighbor's going to be blessed. Your dog and cat's going to be blessed. Glory to God. Everything your hands touch is going to be blessed. He's going to heal your land and everything standing on your land.
Yes.
And your land, hallelujah, your children, hallelujah, glory to God. Your grandchildren, a godly man is going to know how to pray for folk, how to decree a thing, how to speak prophetically over their community, not speaking what the devil is doing, oh, this, that, the mold, gloom, despair, agony on me. No, they're going to be saying, God, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. I decree and declare the victory of the Lord in this place, in this, on this job, in this church, in this home. Hallelujah. I claim everybody in the name of the Lord. That's how a godly man talks and how he walks. I feel my help coming, but I'm going to leave it alone, brother.
Is that what Jesus meant when he said, but he said, your speech betrays you?
Yes.
A godly man doesn't talk like the world talks. His speech betrays him.
Amen. Amen.
Reveals who he is.
Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, Lord, how to be a godly man. That's what we've been talking about. Any last words before we close out here?
No, I just pray in the name of Jesus that my speech will betray me. That my speech will line up with what the word of God.
Aaron.
And that I will only say what my Father says, and that I will only do what my Father tells me to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank God today for the godly men.
Amen.
We thank God for the kings and the kings in training.
Yeah.
We speak hallelujah. And we thank God for adding signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings to the men's fellowship and our conversation on this evening.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. God loves you. Hallelujah. And there's nothing you can do about it. So just a godly man today. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.
Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life, thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship God, true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. as you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stay tuned for the Women's Fellowship coming up at, hallelujah, 7:50 in just a few moments. Hallelujah. Thank you again, Minister Jerry Cleveland. Hallelujah for being with us tonight. This, hallelujah.
Thank you for having me, Bishop.
And Women's Fellowship is sponsored by the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind, the Ministries International. God bless you all. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Stay tuned for God's Woman, hallelujah, the Woman's Fellowship with Pastor Peaches. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
God, we just thank you, hallelujah, for bringing us to another second Friday, hallelujah, to speak to the women, Lord God, of the world, to encourage their hearts, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for all that you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. Father God, speak tonight in the name of Jesus. Bless the hearts that's receiving. Lord God, let it be sown on good ground. Let everything be done in decency and in order, Father God, in an anointed word. Hallelujah. Your word is anointing. Hallelujah. Anoint us, Lord God, as we give your word. We praise you and we worship you, Lord God. Bless out the keep you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We praise and we worship you and we thank you, Lord God. Bless Pastor Maxine in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Maxine was having some technical difficulty with the phone, but are you there, Elder Kiwi?
Oh, yes, I am. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know. And it's just, I was thinking of the word excited. And it's, I mean, just getting excited, just getting ready to share the word of God. And you can read the same scripture over and over again, and God will give you something different every time.
Something new every time.
Yes, hallelujah. And tonight, we want to talk about dating in the church and this day and time. Hallelujah. And what it should look like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow. And my mind went back to when I was dating, when I was a teenager and dating for the first time, and that person I married, and that's where my children came from, and when he would come around, we weren't allowed to sit beside each other on the sofa. He was at one end of the sofa. I was on the other end of the sofa. And the only way we touched, our fingertips touched, you know, we were like being sick, putting our hands on the back of the sofa. And our fingertips was touching. That was it. And my mother standing in the doorway of the living room and asking us, would y'all like to look at the newspaper? Y'all would like to see the market circular? I'm thinking, Mama, we ain't going to no market to do no shopping. Why we want to see a newspaper? It was. Believe you me, it was no standing in no dark hallways to try and sneak no kids. It was like, oh my goodness. I mean, like, it was like, goodness, great man, don't you trust it? And it was, but you know what? My mother was a firm believer of don't let your good be evil spoken of. And there's another scripture that I wrote down, Ecclesiastes 3:1. There's a time and season for everything. And believe you me, my mama wasn't gonna let the time come before it's supposed to. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. But she didn't have to worry about that. When Dr. Bird asked for my hand, because I was well adult and did not come from my mama's house that time. Oh, my goodness. Yes, oh, my goodness. You know what, but even in the church, so many things, you know, so many things happen, you know, some mistakes happen and stuff like that, but my mama's going to, she's going to make sure wasn't nothing going to be happening with me. Yeah, I tell you, and then, oh my goodness, that almost make the stuff she would take you through, almost make you throw your hands up and holler and say, well, forget it. How in the world am I going to know the man? I can't even have no time to even be with him by myself. But Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, wait a minute, 3:11, I wrote down, there's a time and season, everything. Women, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then the 11th verse says, he had made, 11a, he had made everything beautiful in his time. In his time. And my mom will make sure when nothing happened before his time. Oh, my gosh. There was stuff. And the things that were not allowed back there in those days, I'm sure it was no touching, no hand holding, no sitting beside each other on the sofa, no standing in the dark places, and oh my gosh, no kissing. You would probably thought you were doomed to hell then. I'm like, oh my gosh. OMG. Wow.
Okay, can Holly hear?
Yes.
Holly,
awesome.
And she's a Christian young girl, and you better treat her as such.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
and but those mothers right there, they were old school, and so many of those things, I mean, those things worked.
Yes,
you know, those things, where we might thought they were kind of extreme.
Yes.
And some of them were extreme.
They were.
But they were doing what they knew. They were doing what they knew. Yes.
But they knew the other side of it. If we did not have rules and regulations that would hold us, it would mess up the rest of our lives and mess up any children that would be born under that umbrella would be out of order, and they would not have the anointing of a family. And that's where they were looking at the big picture, not just the dating. But when this, the improper dating would take you on the wrong road, and you would pay for it the rest of your life.
Yes, yes. And there's another scripture. Paul was saying all things are lawful but not expedient. And Paul was talking about the liberty that we have in Christ, but we can just think about ourselves in the things that we do. We have the liberty to do a lot of things, but sometimes if we take all the liberty, sometimes we need to think about others, think about what it may cost or how it's going to look to others and to the unsaved and to somebody on the outside looking in. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" And then the 20th verse talks about us being bought with a price.
Amen.
We are bought with a price. And we can't just do our own thing. In Christ Jesus, we can't just do our own thing.
It's just really, 2 Corinthians 6:14-15 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers."
Yes.
What fellowship has goodness? That's a jump off right there. If you knew they were not of Christ, did not come to church, did not conduct themselves in a godly manner, you knew you were unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
You did not go out here purposely and get a worldly person that was nightclubbing and drinking and cussing and fussing and, you know, disobedient to your parents or whatever. As a young person, you would not let that even happen. So it wouldn't go any further right there. Foundation right there.
Yes. And so many things we can do, and sometimes when you in love, you just a bubblehead. You're butterflies, and sometimes you may not be thinking right.
That's
so
right.
So therefore, you may do something that's that to someone else on the outside looking in may not look so cool. Because what if let's say we were having an all-night prayer or an evening service, and you had an early date. Let's say we use the term boyfriend, girlfriend.
Right.
Your boyfriend picked you up from college, from school in the afternoon. Let's say you were in college, picked you up, and y'all went out to dinner. And you may have walked the mall. You're out in public. You're not any place secretive.
Yes.
But that night, you come to church together, and everybody looking at you.
That's right. They certainly would.
Believe you me, a lot of times the negative thoughts will come before the positive thoughts.
Exactly.
And so therefore they already have you, where they coming from, it's late at night, they come, you know?
You're already working this, yes.
Right. And it's just like you already, and what if you, the boyfriend was, the pastor was considering him for the ministry. Or for ordination and the young lady a missionary, but how are things looking?
Perceived.
Yes, and the word of God, Romans 1:2, be not conformed to this world.
Amen.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, and we would be all so innocent. So innocent. And you wonder, sometimes you wonder, like, how the world did get them thoughts? We ain't did nothing, you know?
It's almost like they're thinking for you. But 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals.
Yes.
You had to watch your company that you kept, even under the eyes of in church, because sometimes certain you can see certain traits in a young girl, and sometimes the older saints would say something. So even within the church, you still had to have an inner circle, because some people were just not going to be a good influence on you. They were a little wild or a little more permissive, a little more fast, as my mother used to say. So you even had to have a mindset that you wanted it to be God's way. And the people that were there were trying to do that, to keep your mind on the Word of God. For the Word of God will always keep you straight, because 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, no temptations has overtaken you that is not faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your abilities, but will provide the way of escape, what you may be able to endure. So temptations are all around because you're flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be so grounded and so honest with the Lord and honorable to him to say, Lord, even show me, even in church, even when I'm thinking about the person, to keep my thoughts pure and clean, because I want to finish you first. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So what you're thinking about, what you're dreaming about, you still have to keep them pure, even though you're human, even though you want to be married, even though you want a boyfriend. There's something about keeping those emotions grounded in the Word of God that will keep you focused and keep it moving ahead in the right way.
Yes. I found out that even dating, some scriptures you couldn't even read together.
They were hot, especially in Solomon.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. For real. We can't read that. We got to stop reading that one. And, you know, and also it's the Word of God. You even have to have such a prayerful,
you have to have
a prayerful life, pray together. If you have if there's a young man that's interested in you and he only wants to go out in the evening and by yourself if you're in college and, you know, and you have classes through the week, why is he always asking for late dinners? And, you know, we really have to have a spirit of discernment. And not just the young man, the saved young lady, too. And from the time that you start talking to each other to the time, if it's God's will for them, go down the aisle, they need to be praying, asking God, Lord, open up my eyes. Allow me to see what I'm supposed to see. Remove the scales from my eyes. Show me this person's nature. Show me what I'm supposed to see, God. And y'all should be able to pray together, create a fasted life together.
About the Word of God.
That's right. And don't every time you go out, you by yourself. Get other couples.
Always be with other people.
Yes.
It's a safeguard. Because even back in the country days, if you had church socials or singles and things like that, where you would come together and drink punch and sit around and talk, but under the watchful eyes of the saints, that's what they did. And then as you got older, times would change. You would go to movies, decent movies, but you would go together. But sometimes parents would even take you. You know, they would be a part of your date because they wanted to do what Matthew 6 and 33 says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. If your heart is right and you want it to be right, just seeking God's wisdom on everything that you do, because you don't want to do anything out of line that will, first of all, be against God's will. And you knew if you do follow those lines, it would be best for you in overall. Because your mom and daddy wouldn't tell you.
Wow. And you know what? If things were, I guess, the way, if the parents kept close with the couples today and some things were old school, we wouldn't have illegitimate babies running around in church or people getting married in January and a baby, their union being blessed in June with a little one. And we said, like, Wait a minute. They just come out in January. February, March, April, May. Oh, no. Something ain't adding up. You know, we wouldn't have people that wouldn't have to cover up things, you know. And when I was coming up, if you made a mistake, well, we call it a mistake, if you fell, you had to get in front of the church.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And apologize.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, have you seen it before?
Oh, yes. It happened with my daughter. It happened with my daughter when she got pregnant with my granddaughter, Samaya. She had to come before this privately, but still, I wanted her to know that this was something that God will see you through, but you need to come to God and repent and let him know that you were sorry for your mistake and go on from there. Not that you will be tied to a tree and beat, but you need to recognize the spirituality of what you have done was not agreeable to what the rules and regulations God has laid out. Plus, you want the blessings on that baby and on your relationship from that point on, that you were not just trash, but you made a mistake. Let's help you get back up on your feet, and let's go on. Not to keep penalize you, roll your eyes at him or anything. But if anything, love him up even more.
Amen.
Love him up even more.
Amen.
Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord.
Yes.
He will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
And this is what a young person really has to do, because you need the word of God to keep your feet on the ground, because your head is God, especially like the Lord. And don't let him be cute. Don't let him be cute, you know. You look at that stuff on the side of your eyes. But the point is, you say, Lord, I really want a good husband. I want to be a good girl, a young person. I want to do your. So you have to really strengthen yourself with the word of God to give you confidence. But so 1 Timothy 5:1-2 says, do not, oh, I'm sorry, it's the wrong one. Romans 12:9-10 says, let love be genuine.
Yes.
Honor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That means if you like a person, you should be showing each other how honorable and respectable you can be.
Yes, yes.
The rest of the word of God. So you look at that and say, what do those attributes really show me about that person? And he's thinking, is that a person I really like for a wife? How does she carry herself? How does she handle herself? Is she trying to be sneaky? Sometimes girls can be sneaky. It's not the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Girls can be sneaky. So guys have to really watch themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But God is right there.
Mm-hmm.
He's right there.
Yes, indeed. Oh, my gosh. Mm-mm.
And Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to him. There are guys, you know, who want to have a lot of girlfriends and everything, but they have to watch themselves. They have to be able to control themselves. And when they don't, that's when they fall into trouble.
Mm.
Not doing things for the word of God, not controlling their emotions and their feelings, because it turns into lust.
Mm.
You know, the flesh and blood, but you have to choose to want to do it God's way.
Yes.
And that means being disciplined and having boundaries.
Yes. And we were taught coming up that when you don't cross certain lines before marriage, God blesses that union.
Yes, he does.
God blesses he gives you that joy in the intimacy even for years and years and all. And I really don't think sometimes people, I don't think they realize that when certain lines are crossed, you know, a certain amount of confidence is dropped. You know, and you really don't see the whole picture, and you really don't see the deception of Satan when he's, it's natural to have these feelings, but these feelings have to be submitted unto God until the day when you don't have to worry about crossing the lines. Hey, you know, the line is just disappeared. You're married now, you know, and all, but those lines have to be, they had to be kept. They had to be upheld.
You really have to be honored. But
yes.
You know what? When you slip up, Satan will beat you with that type of guilt.
Mm.
And they have condemnation. But 1 Corinthians 7:9 says, but if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. It's better to marry than to burn with passion. So therefore, if you step up and you're in love and everything, go before the pastor. You all sit down and talk. Talk with your parents, then you talk with the pastor. If you feel this is what both of you want to do and you just can't keep your hands off each other, you know, and it was counseling, then you go on and marry. Even that's in the Bible. So you do. God has an answer from A to Z for everything.
Yes. And God knows how we are made. He made us. He knows how we are made. He knows he the one that gave us the buttons. He the one that shaped us. He knows how we are shaped. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
And the man is made for the woman to be attracted. I mean, the attraction, the male, the female is made to be able to just look at that male and say, whoa, look at the muscles. And the man, he looks at the woman, oh, look at that Coca-Cola-shaped bottle or whatever, you know. And then that may be the drawing thing, but there has to be something on the inside to keep. Because you can't say, oh, I love you because you got long hair. Well, what if the hair come out?
That's right.
What if somebody develop alopecia?
What happens when a girl cuts her hair?
That's right.
On the shoulder, they were dating, and they get married, and they cut the hair. There goes your love out the window.
Right.
But First Thessalonians 4:3-5 says, but this is the will of God, the sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality.
Yes.
That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor.
Yes.
Not in the passion of lust.
Uh-huh.
Like the Gentiles do. So we're supposed to act different from the world.
Amen.
We see them holding hands or whatever. We know that we should not do that, because just the touching of the hands or body parts innocently, it stirs up the lust, and that's what we don't want to. We want to harness that and keep it in right place, because it's not lust that we want. We want genuine love that has been given from God, that is holy and sanctified and in the right boundaries and in the right place. So therefore, it takes a lot of restraint.
Yes.
First of all, to love the Lord first. Put his word first to keep you grounded.
Amen.
And even when you want to stray, the word will bring you back in line.
Amen.
And you feel more honorable. You feel more holy and more saturated in doing what God wants you to do. And be patient. Be patient. We have to wait on God, because he knows. He gave us the desires. He knows what we want. But love is, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says, love is patient and kind.
Yeah.
Love is not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude.
Mm-hmm.
It does not insist on its own way.
Mm-hmm.
It is not irritable or resentful.
Uh-huh.
Does not rejoice at doing wrong.
Yeah.
But rejoices with the truth. So you're looking at a person's character, male or female. Are these traits exhibited in how they handle themselves? You need to see them in different settings, whether in church or with a group or
you
want to date or whatever. You're going to see, are they irritable? Are they patient? Are they kind?
Mm-hmm.
Are they holding the door for me? Are they considering me? How are they talking to me? And does he have a mess? Please, Jesus. Be respectful of me, and always, and you watch also how they treat their family members, women in your family, and vice versa.
Yes.
All these things help give you a clue. Am I wasting my time with this person, or should I look elsewhere or pray somewhere else? So you're not left just stumbling in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow the word of God and your desire toward God is first, he will lead and guide you. The word of God is a light unto your path.
Yes.
And that's what you need, especially when you want to be married or you want a friend. You say, Lord, how do I look through this maze of different types of folks to choose the right one? But there are guidelines in what to look for so that you won't make a mistake. And sometimes they can fool you, because I've always heard they will follow a skirt to church, you know, and they will do all right for a minute. It look like they say it. They look like they want God. And then you see it with another light. It's completely different. They were just doing it to get your attention and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But as you pray, read the word. God will not leave
Stay
you.
Stay in the word. That's right.
You are his precious son. He don't want the guys to be fooled either by saying small girl either.
Mm-hmm.
With females that raise, that will get a man upset. Okay?
That's right. That's
right. You've got to be godly centered and knowing that God is your first love and, he, and daddy, he will teach you everything.
That's right. And the more you call yourself falling in love, the more you fall in love, the more fall in love with that man, the more staying in the word you need to be so that God will show you what needs to be seen. God will show you what your natural, God can allow, with you being in the word of God, he can drop things in your spirit about that person when you're not even around that person.
Ask him for discernment of spirit.
Amen.
You have not, because you ask not. You, this is serious business. This is your life.
Yes.
This is your children's life.
Yes.
You better go to God and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm looking at. Show it to me. You think God would not hear you? He would not answer your prayer? He's your papa. He's your daddy.
Amen.
That's for you as well. But he's waiting to see what are you going to do?
Yes.
What are you going to do? What did God say about this situation?
Yes.
You better run to the word of God. And then when you have godly parents, you can talk things over with them. And hopefully they're kind and loving, and they're not harsh and mean and, you know, act like you did something wrong already. But you need to talk these things out because they were your age at one point, too. But they're your parents now. So you want to keep that bond and keep that relationship going.
Yes.
But keep the airways open with love and tender care and the word of God.
Yes, and it may seem like sometimes our parents are hard or you're trying. Every time they talk to you, they're talking to you about your mate or about the person that you love. And and then when you are in love, it's that you don't want anybody to, you don't want your parents to tell you anything negative about this person.
Yes,
I just love him. You just don't like him. You old folks. You this. You that. No, but you better listen.
I'm telling. Don't be like me. I said, Mommy, he got pretty eyes. She said, Girl, but knock you in the next week.
Because we be looking, I guess we look on the outside, oh, he's just dream, oh, he just, oh, you know, and you just, oh, and then sometimes you may go in a daydream, just dreaming, just thinking, oh, he held my hand, oh, he said the sweetest thing to me, oh, he gave me a lollipop, oh, he did this, and you wondering like, good Lord, you know, you on cloud nine, and all. And when you should be in the word of God, even the more, and sitting on the side of the bed dreaming about him, you should be in the word of God. So God can, drop some things in your spirit or bring some things to your mind and this and that or whatever. And a lot of times we can be so foolish, you know, because somebody look like what we want to be with. And I was just told of a story a couple hours ago. The young lady, the guy made a date with this person, but he didn't show up. And stood her up, and then she went on I don't know, Facebook, and looked him up and see him with his fiance giving her an engagement ring. And the fiance looked like she got a knot on my belly in front of her and everything. And I guess the girl was blown away. But he just made a date. And then they even had a bachelor party. Because the guy's getting married to the shower girl.
Used and everything, unfortunately.
Yes. But thank God you know, sometimes we think, oh, man, you're always blocking, you're always intercepting, you're this and that always happens. But we thank God for these parents that can see further down the road.
They can see.
Yes. But sometimes we think they just, you always instigate, you always do this. But thank God for the brothers in church that says, oh, no, we're gonna see this man, Sister Willie, that you are going to marry. And thank God for the women in church that don't mind pulling you to the side and saying, Sister, let me pray with you. Or this is something you should be praying about. Thank God for the men, the holy men of valor that's around us, that's in church, that don't mind speaking the word of God over you and speaking things into your spirit. And saying, sister or brother, this is what you should be looking at. This is what you should be feasting, you know, your heart on. Here are some scriptures that God helped me to feast on. You know, when I was in this, because we want the best for you.
That's right, and give them your testimony, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, moving on along to the older congregation in the church, how to look and how to carry yourself and even your thoughts 1 Timothy 5:1-2 says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, and older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. So even though they're older saints, you don't want them unequally yoked, even in church. You know, older man with one of the young girls or something like that, or, you know, they call them cougars, or older women with younger men. But even the Word of God has something for that, to put those emotions and that love and that affection in the proper place. When you look at the older people and you encourage them in the right way, older men should be looked at as fathers and younger men as a brother, as a brother. That's the way you should be. And older women as mothers, because the Bible says the older women should teach the younger women.
Yes.
So that they have a friend or a sisterhood there and a foundation to keep them focused even when they're married and beyond, where to put their emotions.
Oh,
where everything is in the Word of God. Everything is in the Word.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes, it is. Yes, yes, yes. And we have to ask God, while we're in the dating age or dating stage, ask God to, for the young people, the young men and the young women that's in that stage right now, y'all be encouraged to ask God to give you a receptive heart.
Yes.
A receptive spirit to receive, to accept when someone comes to you in love, to share with you things from their heart.
And that's one of the seven pillars of wisdom, having a coachable, teachable spirit. If you have that, you're going to receive that person in love, knowing that they have your welfare in place for you, and that they love you, and they're going to speak the Word of God in a tender fashion, and you can receive it. And they're praying for you, letting you know you're not alone. And God is right here because he's in me, helping you.
Yes. And we all help us one of another.
Yes, we are.
And sometimes, and sometimes somebody on the outside can see things that you, sometimes, what's that, there's a cliche to say, too close to the forest to see the trees.
Yes.
Sometimes on the out, if you're on the outside, somebody on the outside looking in can see something going on that you can't, because you got love in your eyes, and the only thing you can see is a twinkle in his eye, and you just got and you hear birds twinkling in your ears and all.
But also, you will dismiss some things that are really a red light. Feeling or emotional, you don't see it. That outside person will say, "Baby, look at it this way." You know, take another look or back up just a little bit, because like you said, they can see more than you can because you're caught up in the moment.
Yes.
And it may be a little rough sometime, or they may say something different out of the way. They say, well, you better pay attention to that. Because I've told some young girls, I said, the young man that you think you're in love with, have you seen him in his worst day? Well, think about it. If you had a baby by him, it's a love-hate situation. You love the baby, but you hate the traits because it reminds you of the father. So you have to choose very carefully. It
hurts.
That really hurts.
Thank God, Jesus. We thank God for words of wisdom, and we believe that tonight is falling on good ground, and young ladies that's desiring the man of God. He said, the Word of God says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So you be beautiful, you be the beautiful flower in the garden, feasting your heart and your mind on God, and let him find you. You don't look for the man. You be what God wants you to be, and watch God send the man of God your way. Yes, in his timing. And God will do it. I am a witness. As I go Wednesdays, I speak to the children and the children's corner. Some things in my heart that I've learned, and this is something I've learned. When you be what God wants you to be, God will allow the man of God to find you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. He will let yes.
And one more nugget. Women have to elevate their thinking about themselves. They are queens in training. So therefore, they can't carry themselves as any old kind of way loosely, but knowing that they are of great value okay? And tell yourself that. You have to read the Word of God. Look at the Word and say, God said. You need to build up yourself so that you will have eyes that will be looking right, not just at the outer appearance, but you're looking through to their soul and knowing that you are of great value, so God doesn't want you to be damaged goods.
Amen. And you aren't accepting the first man that says, oh, you are just so beautiful. And you go, oh, thank you. And then you're going home and you can't sleep at night because you having dreams and somebody told you, oh, you were so beautiful.
And dads and men need to understand how much anointed power they have in investing in young ladies, giving them the standards, letting them know that they're beautiful from the inside out. Because when a young man comes along and says you're so beautiful, you say, oh, my daddy told me that. But you got something.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Your guard is always up, and you already built up on the inside knowing that you're lovable, you're valuable, and you bring a lot to the table. So you're not just going to take any old Joe Blow.
Amen. Amen. And I remember Tony Evans said that he would take his daughters out to dinner.
He brought
them the promise ring. He pulled out the chair. He opened up the car door so that his daughters would know when the right one came along how they supposed to be treated. That's right, how they were supposed to be treated because they were precious to daddy. So therefore, they're going to be precious. They need to be precious to whatever man comes by, and they know just how a man is supposed to treat them.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
They'll think twice. They said, I better stay home with my father. I ain't going with you.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Elder QB. Hallelujah.
Too many of us confuse love
with
physical attraction.
Thank you, Jesus.
Infatuation. Love. A lot of people think love is conditional. I love you if you love me, or I love you if you're loving. But love is kind and long-suffering. Love is dedication.
I am dedicated to you. Gonna be with you my whole life.
Amen, amen.
Oh, yes, you can rely. I'll love you till I die.
Yes, yes.
And when he calls us home, I'll see you on high.
I am dedicated to be with you my whole life. It's love that I feel. I know. This joy that we share is an unsatisfied.
Whoa, we've gone through the good times, and we'll make it through the bad times together. Whoa, yes we will, yes we will.
In these last days it's so fair. So I love must be better than
ever. Yes, yes, yes.
Will stay.
So
No, no.